Okay, so my name is Tim Owen Jones, and I'm conducting this interview on behalf of the Wellcome Trust and the One Another Project in Trafalgar Square, London. It's the 16th of September 2009, and the time's just past 10 past 4 in the morning. Can you tell me, please, your name, your age, and where you come from?
My name's Catherine Mendelson, and I'm originally from London, but I live in Edinburgh. I've lived there for the last 10 years, and I'm 38 years old.
Okay, thank you. When was it you found out about the One Another Project?
A friend of mine told me about it and said I should apply.
Okay, and so what was it then? What would you say was your inspiration or your motivation to get part to take part in the project itself?
I really like Anthony Gormley's work a lot, and you know, living in Edinburgh, you often take the train past the Angel of the North, and I spend some of my time commuting up and down, occasionally for my job, and. I think it's one of the best pieces of public art I know. So I like his work a lot. And when my friend told me about the project, I thought, well, I'll apply. And then I'll think about what happens if I get selected.
How did you feel when you received the email to say that you'd been allocated a slot?
Well, it was interesting because between applying and then getting the email, a lot of things had happened in my life. Unfortunately, a few close friends had died. So I had a real shift in my philosophy, because I'm quite a private person, so it was quite an odd thing to apply. And the friends of mine who died obviously died young, they were in their 40s, and it made me think, don't put things off till next year. If there's something and you're scared, you know, I thought in particular of one friend of mine, Josh. And I just thought, just do it. And so that's kind of, I said yes. And I'm doing various things this year that I find terrifying. I mean, I'm scared of heights. So the plinth is, you know, it's not private, it's a height. It's just about everything I'm a bit scared of. But it felt like an extraordinary opportunity. And also it felt like a thing that I would regret not having done.
So what have you decided then you're going to do for the duration of the hour?
Well, I thought a lot. I read a big interview with Anthony Gormley, because when I was reading other people's summaries of the project, it's always a bit less clear what the artist's intention is, you know, what they really want out of it. And I love visual arts, and have a number of friends who are artists. And so quite often when the artist talks about it themselves, that's the most immediate picture you get of their aims or their vision or whatever. And I read this interview with him, and he was talking about that sort of paradox of wanting people to be incredibly individual and personal, but at the same time somehow represent common humanity or common experience. I thought, well, yeah, that's easy. But then I thought about it, and I thought a lot about statues and their nature, because it's a plinth in Trafalgar Square where you tend to get statues to famous dead people who deserve to be commemorated. And I thought about the fact that the people in my life who've died young, which includes my father, who died when I was 16, of course most of us will never ever get a statue. Even if we've had extraordinary achievements and done extraordinary things in our life, it's very, very uncommon, unusual. But I thought about the nature of statues and the fact that they are there to celebrate someone and commemorate them. So they're a memorial, and a sort of, they're saying their life was significant. They're marking it in some way. And I thought about the people I love who've sadly, you know, died too soon. And I thought, in your life, I mean, my dad dying, that was, you know, a long time ago now, that's 22 years ago, and a number of my friends also quite a long time ago as well. And I thought, but you are sort of a living memorial to them in your daily life. You don't have a plaque, you don't walk around advertising it, but they're always there, and you don't have to consciously bring them to mind, they're just part of who you are. And you're one of their memorials. I mean, you know, they will have other people in their lives who also, you know, remember and, you know, have very different memories of them. And I thought about the fact that in my head, the five people I'm going to be thinking about today, all get a plinth, you know, they all have their plinth in my head, and that's, you know, just permanently. And then I realised that today I'd have a chance to sort of, they're very quiet private individuals, but it was my chance to sort of publicly and privately mark them as special in my life and significant and part of who I am, and but also to say, you know, to say they're special, I suppose, all of them, as you know, as everyone is. Yeah, and it sounds, I mean, it sounds like I've known tons of people who've died, and it's just, unfortunately, you know, I think cancer got a lot of people, including the three men in their 40s who died this year, which is very young and rubbish, because they have children, you know, they have partners, wives, and it's very early to leave your life. So I think what I'm probably going to do on the plinth is going to be not much performance. I mean, it's not about a performance, it's about a very internal thing, which is me thinking on each of them. And I will hold up a thing with their name and their dates and the age they were when they died. And that's really all. And I'm not really intending to speak. I may read. I wrote a small thing at the beginning to explain what I'm doing, relatively short. And then I might read a quote at the end. But that's as much of a plan as I have. Okay. See when I'm up there. And I have for each one of them, I have an object that is sort of symbolic for my certain memories of them. And they're not the things that sum up those people. They're just a particular object that connects with a particular time. And with them, so that's where I'm. That's what I'm doing.
Great.
And I may cry, and I may not cry. I don't know.
So, who would you say you're doing this for?
I think for them, it's a way of sort of marking them in a different way from, you know, if you put somebody's name into Google or an internet search thing, you'll get a very bald list, maybe, of things they've done. Depends what they've done in their life. And a lot of these people died pre-internet, really. But there's, you know, there's a very bald summary, and I remember looking at that for one of my friends and thinking, oh, well, of course that's him. But it's absolutely not him at the same time. That list of job things is not the person. It's just some very stark facts. And so I was thinking about what marker do people leave. And I suppose it's a way of saying they were meaningful, they are meaningful. And loved. So, yeah, I think that's what it's for. But of course, you're also doing it sometimes for other people in their lives. But I think more than that, I'm doing it for them, actually, and for me, I suppose.
And how does it feel for you then to be able to bring these memories and, you know, these important people to you up onto the plinth as well? How do you feel about the project for allowing you?
I feel very strange about that because it's such a private thing. And it's a bit of a leap of faith to do it. And I am quite a private person. You know, in my work, I sometimes have to do public events, but things that are close to me and emotional things, I tend to be very private about. So it's very unusual for me to do something like this. And I think I'm taking that quote about doing something very, very personal to you at full value and saying, okay, I'm going to just do this. But I feel quite ambiguous about it, actually, because you don't want to reduce people by anything you do. It's not the aim of what I'm doing.
Thank you. Can you let us know a little bit about you, a little bit about your background? You said you commute a little bit in your job. What is it you spend your time doing?
I work in theatre and I commission playwrights to write plays. I'm a literary manager, so it's a bit like being an editor with novelists. You know, you're working with writers to help them develop the plays from draft to draft, and also you're furnishing the artistic director of the theatre with choices for their selection. And I work at a new writing theatre, so all of the work we produce ourselves is world premieres. So it's very like in visual arts, say working with contemporary artists. It's not the famous classics. It's the polar opposite. And I have worked for companies that do the famous classics, but for the last 10 years, I've been working for this theatre in Scotland that is all about living writers. And love my job, and I'm very lucky to have it, and I've been there 10 years, which is very unusual in theatre to stay so long, but it's a very good job and some very, very good individual artists, so writers, so I really like it.
And how did you find yourself in that industry and in that particular role?
Oh, that's a long story I think you probably don't necessarily want to hear. There was a point in my teens where it struck me that theatre was one of the few things that united a lot of the things I was interested in, which is the combination of the visual, the spatial, you know, kinetic or choreography, movement on stage, and emotional truth, emotional creation of empathy or exploration of choices, which may not be good choices, you know, and text. And I loved text as well, but you know, when I was at school and university, I did English at university, I didn't study drama, and people always said, oh, do you want to be a teacher? And I love teaching, it's great, but it wasn't what I wanted to do for my work at that stage. I do teach sometimes, but teach sort of practical things to do with dramaturgy in my field, you know, I teach postgrad students sometimes, but I'm a practical girl, I think. I'm a practitioner. So I started as a director and worked for some very, very good companies. I was lucky enough to assist some amazing, you know, when you're assistant director, it's a way of training on the job. And I assisted some incredible directors for some incredible theatres. Then began doing some of my own early productions and just realised that directing wasn't the thing I actually wanted to do. And in the meantime, I'd been working more and more with writers and more with scripts, and that was kind of love. And luck always comes into it. An artistic director took over a theatre in London, and he just phoned me up and said, I'd like you to be my literary manager. I'd never thought about the job, but the moment he said it, I've just said yes, and I've never looked back. So that's how I got to what I do.
Great. So what would you say that are the most important things to you then at the moment in your life?
Oh gosh, the people in my life are the single most important thing, and that's, you know, my husband, my family, my friends, and the artists I work with, those people, and also, it's a weird question to be answering at 4:30 in the morning, also probably, you know, concepts like beauty and intellect and creation of things, those things that I appreciate in life, and that can be about a landscape or it can be about an arts project, or it can be about lots of different things, but those are probably some of the most important things. And then but the people are the thing for me at this stage, very much.
Okay. And what hopes and fears do you have for the future?
I think I'm very, I don't know, I suppose because a lot of things have happened in my life, you know, that come from nowhere. And that's both the most terrible things in the world and the most wonderful things. So both are equally likely, and both come with not much warning, you know, from the blue. And that's the good things as well as the bad. So I'm fairly relaxed about the future. Hopes. I think in life one hopes to do something meaningful. I really hope to have children, but that's a very personal thing. And I hope to be good at my work, what I do. And fears, lots. I mean, I think for me one of the really important things is that you're not frightened of too much, that you're not, because it restricts you in the end, fear. And that means you have to, for me, I have to have no pride, not worry about looking foolish, not worry about looking cool or good. You know, just worry about the work or creating something or your relations with people individually, outside work and in work. Fears, I don't know. I'd go, ooh, tarantulas, spiders, snakes. Those are my fears. And slightly heights as well, as I've mentioned. That's my fears, I think.
And how are you feeling half an hour before you set foot on the plinth?
I'm mainly feeling tired because it is 4:30 in the morning, and because it's terrible, but it's an honest answer, because I had to be here at 3:30, I didn't really sleep, and I was working very late last night and then came down from Edinburgh. So right now I'm probably in quite a good state, because I'm kind of, you know, in a state of sort of surrender, really. And I'll probably get nervous, you know. And I feel a bit nervous now, but I'm sure I'll get more nervous, just because my job is very much behind the scenes, and that's what I choose for my work, and that suits me really well. And I was quite happy with the idea of 5 in the morning, because I was thinking, well, there won't be loads of people around. But of course, anything where you're on a space and it is somehow more public, that'll make me nervous. But I'm looking forward to it as well. I mean, it's... The thing that makes my nerves go away is I think about the people I'm there to do this for, and then you don't feel nervous.
So what are your closing thoughts on being part of this Anthony Gormley piece, being one of 2,400 people that get to experience this project?
Well, I think having grown up in London, there is something great about standing on a plinth in Trafalgar Square. I'm sure for other people, if you haven't grown up in London, it's the same thing, but you know, it's my childhood here. You know, it's lots of different things, you know, playing in the fountains, coming on protests, you know, coming to royal weddings and things. It's a location I've passed through a lot throughout my life, and there's something very special about being able to be in the square. And a bit closer to Nelson's Column. And I don't yet know how I feel about the project at all. I think it's something that will probably become clearer once I've done it, and clearer with distance, with time. So there you go, not very helpful, but... honest, I think that's all I can say, because you know, I don't really, it's sort of weird doing it, but it is very exciting.
Okay, thank you very much.
That's all right.